you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Luke chapter 12, verse 24. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, July 12th, 2023. It's a great verse, and you'll understand it when we read the story out of Rural Memories in our July edition of the Prime Life Times. My pet crow, Rob Seenberg, joins me in the studio. In fact, we didn't get to read last month's edition where he had a great story on the front cover titled The Bicycle. So I have Rob in to read both of these stories. So you're going to be encouraged and blessed. I hope it puts a smile on your face, maybe a quick step to your walk or an encouraging word to have you think about today. But thank you, Rob, for joining us today on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends.
You're welcome.
And Rob, you know, I've introduced him so many times as not only our copy editor extraordinaire who helps with these Prime Lifetimes publications each and every month, but he and Mary have supported the radio ministry almost from the very beginning, maybe even before we went on the air. He's volunteered in many ways, whether it's been with conversational English classes. He's sang with the Singing Men of GNN. He's assisted at radio events. He's been interviewed a number of times. He's walked through the state of Illinois raising awareness and funds for, was it military?
For veterans.
An all-around free agent for Jesus, just a godly example to me of what it means to live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just appreciate Rob, and so he joins me today on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. But I want to let you know, Rob, that if you were tuned in on Monday or Tuesday, Monday I had Levi Vincent and Bill Erickson. You know, Bill, they talked about reaching the community for Christ. Bill Erickson focuses on international students, but he also loves to share Christ. He's always a part of our first and third Thursday every month of our prayer gathering here. And Levi Vincent's a street evangelist. Evangelist in Springfield that always looks for opportunity to share the good news message of Jesus. And then yesterday, I had a new special friend and guest, Addison Williams, and he talked about the ministry he works with. He Gets Us, that's getting to know Jesus and being an entrepreneur that helps entrepreneurs reach Christ through their work, through their mission, through their ministry. And he was the keynote speaker at the recent Salvation Army gathering. There was a fundraiser called Christmas in July that Melissa and their new team put together. And so Melissa also joined us yesterday on Testimony Tuesday, but Addison shared some of his faith story, ministry work. So those programs are both archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. So if you miss them, I think they're both worth hearing. And then finally, by way of introduction, before you read the two stories, Rob, by now most of you, even those of you out of state, may have received a special letter from me. If you've been a donor to the radio ministry in the last up to 3 or 4 years ago, if at some point you sent a donation to the ministry, you probably received a special mailing. It talked about the storms that came through and how 9 of our stations were knocked off the air. We didn't have a backup generator, and so we need to raise funds for a new backup generator and the propane tank and all the electrical that has to be worked through to get that all set up. And then what also happened at our Springfield station, because Comcast provides our internet, well, the internet was down because of the storm, and it took a while to get back on. So our SRN news feed wasn't updating, so I had to either fit in like 3 or 4 minutes of music or some other radio announcements to fill that void, or there was just a few minutes of silence because we didn't get our feed. Well, because the internet was down and Comcast provides that, They also provide our phones, so you couldn't call in to the WLUJ family of stations because we didn't have phone lines working. So we need to get a backup system all ready for that. And we also have a need for a new transmitter. We have to flip some of the transmitters, and one of our transmitters is breaking down, so we need to do that to provide our 19 frequencies. And so the goal is to raise about $78,000. That'll help with meet those needs. And our WLUJ family of stations no longer has Share-a-thons, so we haven't had them for a couple of years. So in the past, we would always have fundraisers and preempt the programming for a few days to raise funds. Well, we don't do that anymore. We're just relying on God to provide through our listeners. And if you receive that mail and you want to make a donation, we'd appreciate that. That would be great. And for our Great News Radio listeners that have never had Share-a-thons, but always out of the kindness of their heart or how God has moved in their hearts, they donate when they feel an occasion to donate or want to donate or give monthly. And so if you receive that, please respond. Together we do better. And it's all for lifting high the name of Jesus and reaching more people for Christ. And so I believe our ministry is accomplishing God's will for our area. And you can be a part of that. And if you're new, you've never written us or donated before, we'd gladly receive your donation no matter the size. And you can write to us at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843, or our ministry location in Springfield at 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. And so together we do better, all to God's glory, but we appreciate the funds that have already begun coming in, and we hope to raise about $78,000, and that will allow us to have a new transmitter, a backup generator system, and a backup internet system. So that would be wonderful. Well, Rob, you've been wonderful to this radio ministry for many, many years. So do you want to read June 1st and then July? Which one do you want to read first?
Yeah, let's do June 1st and then July.
Okay. So this was titled The Bicycle. It was on the front page of the June edition of the Prime Life Times. A great graphic I think Kelly put together.
Yeah, she did that.
And then
nice.
Your original story called The Bicycle.
Thank you, Mark. When we were young, none of us five kids could ride a bike. One Sunday after church, our family went over to Uncle Alvin and Gladys's place for dinner. We ate as much as we could, then ran outside with our four cousins to learn to ride bicycles. I was really excited about learning that new skill, and sure enough, in about 10 minutes, I could balance and ride just fine. Hey, Lyle, I'm on the air. I'm so sorry. I'll call back. Sure enough, in about 10 minutes, I could balance and ride just fine. Soon all my siblings had learned the bike riding skill, too. Then it was time to go home for evening chores before eating supper and going to the evening service at our little country church. I was about 10 when I learned to ride, but there was no bike at our place. Neither of my parents ever learned to ride, despite living well into their 90s. Still, I hoped for a bike, so I started saving my pennies, nickels, and dimes. By the time I was 14, I had saved up the grand sum of $7. My mom matched.
Of course,
me.
That wasn't a bad amount way back then.
That was quite a bit. It yeah. really was. I remember my allowance was a nickel a week. My mom matched me. My parents had located a used Schwinn bicycle with coaster brakes for sale nearby for $14. We got the bike home about dark one early summer day. The brakes didn't work. I later consulted a book at the local library. We didn't live in the district, so I had to read and take notes rather than borrowing the book. The book had a blow-up of a coaster brake and all the parts. I'd had no idea there were so many separate parts and a coaster brake. Armed with my new knowledge, I took the brake apart. It had gotten really dirty, and then it had run out of oil. I don't suggest oiling most brakes, but that brake functioned with lots of tiny steel discs in an oil bath. They compressed together when one pushed the pedals backward instead of forward. I carefully cleaned the discs, dried them thoroughly, and left them in motor oil overnight. I put everything back together the next morning, right after we had milked and eaten breakfast. The brakes worked perfectly. Of course, I shared the bike with my siblings. The real drawback was that there was no flat place to ride. Everything was up or downhill. When fall came, I decided to ride my bike to school with two neighbor boys who had bikes. Now, precisely why we wanted to ride the 9 miles to school, up and down enormous hills, and the same distance home is today a mystery to me. But I would later ride 22 miles each way to work, and in grad school, 25 miles each way to the university from our little farm, and then back home. Well, biking does save lots of gas. After school, the buses had to wait about 15 minutes for the rural students to come out and get seated before they headed out for the hill country. That meant a couple of buses passed us a few miles out of town. Once we turned off onto the county blacktop, our own bus would pass us. Soon we would see the bus turn off down a side road to deliver some kids there. About 5 minutes later, the same bus, now back on the county road, would pass us again. This happened at every side road. For some reason, it meant a lot to us to get to our mailbox before the bus would have dropped us had we ridden it. I'm sure that at the very least, that vigorous riding was great exercise for three growing teenagers. We usually beat the bus because it had to drop kids off down all those side roads along the way. There were days when, instead of racing the bus, I rode from school to the local library. There I was in my element. An original bronze casting of Paul Revere sat on one of the reading tables. Decades later, it would prove to be a Remington original whose sale at auction permitted the library to add handicapped accessibility and a large extension to the original Carnegie-funded building. We used to play with that thing, though reverently, as I recall. We knew who it was, of course. Until my knee replacement some years ago, riding to the local library continued to be one of my favorite activities. This week I bought a secondhand bike, which...
Wait, this week? So recently?
Yeah, which I fully plan to ride to the library. Copyright Rob Seidenberg. So, if you get the Prime Life Times, you'll see my email address in there. However, I'm trying to discourage fan mail because it could go to my head.
Hey, I was thinking, I almost stopped you. I was going to derail you early on when you said, my mom matched me. And I was like, she took a match to you?
Yeah.
She doubled up that $7 that you had saved, right?
Yeah, the idea was she was going to learn to ride a bike. But when my parents got to where they decided to retire in their 70s, they bought tricycles, those great big tricycles. And they had a big van. They could load them both in there. Then they rode to a fairly flat road, I'll call it that, in the hills. You think things are flat, that here we wouldn't. Where they had a friend of about their age. She lived right there across from the family farm, and she had a tricycle. And the three of them would go up there, and they would ride up and down that road about 2 hours until it started getting dark, and then they'd go in the house and have supper and talk and some more. I went up with them a couple times just because it just seemed like such a neat thing, you know. I just hung around up there and watched them having fun, you know.
So you put in many miles. Now, what happened when it rained and such?
Yeah, I didn't mind riding in the rain, but boy, a real driving rain could slow you down.
Yeah.
I've ridden in the rain a lot.
And you arrive a bit wet, or did you?
Yeah, well, we had fenders in those days. Have you heard of that? Fenders
on bikes?
Yeah, these modern bikes don't believe in that, but
that's
I do.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You used to have to wear either clips or rubber bands around your...
I still have clips. Yeah. I still have lights that I can strap around my ankles.
That generation where you had the bell bottoms, what'd you do?
Just tuck them around and put the clips on, and away you go.
I think those were starting to come back again.
I saw some the other day. Yeah. But they're getting pretty hard to find.
Yeah. Good.
I still have one set.
All right, we now turn to the July edition, which is available at many locations, 400 locations throughout central Illinois and west central Indiana.
Yeah, it's right down the street here at Sweet Basil.
Yeah, go through a lot there.
My pet crow. Growing up on the farm, we made pets of about every kind of animal available. One summer, a baby crow fell out of a nest in a nearby woods, high up in a tall oak tree. Dad heard it crying. But for some reason, the parents weren't responding. He found it and brought it home, and I raised it as a pet. To start with, I fed the baby crow bits of bread soaked in milk.
Why did you think milk?
We fed all babies stuff like that. But, you know, that's what you feed a baby chicken that might have gotten separated from its mom. Or, you know, mom will run around and point out things that should eat, like bugs and stuff. But just soak a little bit of milk, bread and milk, and about any little animal can thrive on that. I did that years later with my pet robin. As he quickly grew in size, I experimented with grain, which he especially liked. Eventually, he hopped along the ground, catching and eating insects of various kinds. Once he could fly, he would often land somewhere on my body. Of course, he needed a name, so I came up with what I thought a creative one, Blackie. I took a lot of ribbing about that from relatives. Yes, some crows learn to mimic human speech. Mine never did. But I thought we communicated pretty well. A certain kind of scolding many wanted a handout. Another kind meant a cat was keeping too close an eye on him. I could call him down from a tree and he'd dive by me, then swoop back around for a soft landing on my head or outstretched arm.
And this really happened.
Oh, of course. I mean, we don't put any fiction in the real memories column, brother.
I mean, it's like, wow, especially like a wild bird that you would think would fly off and then never return. But you had him so trained because of early on, right?
Well, yeah. When we got him, he couldn't fly or anything. Mm. It was just a little bitty thing you put in your hand. So, yeah, he thought I was his mom, I guess. I don't know.
Well, crows are pretty smart, too. Aren't they one of the most intelligent birds with
very
a memory?
Smart. Very smart. And I could tell stories about crows that have teased people because I learned to use words, and they fly around in the trees and tease people walking down the street. People go, where's that coming from? Who's doing that? Call the police. But my crow had very good manners. He didn't do that.
He is a Christian crow.
Well, he never went to town, for one thing. That helped a lot. In August, I got to spend a week with Uncle Leo and Aunt Marie at their farm about 35 miles east of ours. I excitedly regaled them with the adventures of Blackie and told them of all the fun we had had together. I had even taken Blackie out into the woods, hoping he would somehow link up with his own kind. He never did. Mm. My aunt and uncle tolerantly listened to my childish chatter. When I arrived back home full of stories about my wonderful week away, Dad took me aside and told me the sad news. Mm. Blackie had died. Mm. I had lost pet cats, dogs, and even a heifer. But I don't think I felt the death of any other pet as keenly as I did that of the crow. I was about 9 years old. Still, each pet is unique, and I was not tempted to rush out and capture another crow, nor did I. Throughout my long life, I've had many different kinds of wild animals as pets, including two orphan fawns. They were delightful. And as with every such pet, I learned everything I could about the species. But again, because pets are unique, one cannot ever truly be replaced. Mm. I hope they felt the same about me.
Wow. Now, how long did you have this pet crow?
You know, I'm thinking that I might have gotten it the spring before, so that it was maybe a year and a half old when it died. And it just died. And we never quite figured out why, because it had access to water and grain and... I mean, it learned to go in the corn crib and eat corn, and it learned to eat bugs. And in the winter, I opened a little shed. It had been a chicken house of some kind. And so I made a place where it could land and go in, and I kept feeding there for it. Once in a while, the pigeons went in and took some feed, but he seemed really happy. But I don't know. Nobody had any theories about it.
And you were gone for a week?
Yeah, I was gone for a week.
Maybe he just... He
pined away. No, I don't know.
He died of loneliness.
I don't
His master
know.
Was gone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow. Do you know what the lifespan for a typical crow is?
No, but they can live quite a while in the wild. So, and they live longer in captivity somehow. Like if you have one in a zoo, somehow it lasts a little longer. And I don't remember the exact exact age they live to.
Well, I have told this story before, but I can't hunt. I don't even fish. I know people love to fish and love to hunt and have nothing against them, but I just have a very soft heart and I can't shoot anything. I can't kill any other than maybe a few bugs I could squish. But other than that, I just can't. Well, I think I was 8 or 9 up in New York at my grandmother's, and I had a BB gun, you know, you shoot things. And there was this bird and I thought, oh, I'll shoot the bird. And I shot it, and I saw it, like, limping around, and that was it. I've never, ever shot anything.
Right?
And, oh, I felt he jumped into a bush, and I think was probably okay, but I just felt so terrible because I didn't think I could really hit it. And, you know, you're just kind of shooting. but that was the last thing. I've never hunted or even fished really after that. I just put a hook in something and I just can't do it. But
well, I must say that after I raised my first baby fawn, that was the end of any deer hunting in our family, pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in the family hunted after that. And it's not that we don't like venison or anything else, but now I've raised one and I don't want to shoot its cousin, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Esther follows in my footsteps a bit. We have chickens, and so, you know, we treat them with these. Oh, well, you've even given me some of the mealworms, freeze-dried mealworms. They come, they peck at the window, and the home studio, sometimes you'll hear a little pecking sound. Well, that's them, because they know if
they're
they peck at the window,
right?
I slide open the window, and I pour it out. And so I do that every day, and I call them, hey, chickens, my little chickens, come here. And they all come, all nine of them. Come running or hopping or skipping. It's kind of funny to see them waddling almost.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
But, yeah, that's almost a daily practice. When the hawks are out or other things, we have to, you know,
you
keep them
in. Yeah.
We have it fenced in. So far we've been pretty fortunate.
No raccoon losses or
no, but
foxes.
The raccoons know not to come around.
Yeah,
Holly's pretty fierce. She's the defender of
the
chickens.
She might eat the raccoon, right?
I think the raccoons have told each other, don't mess with that house. there's a woman that won't look kindly on us. So
it could be.
Yeah, but well, thank you for writing this story in the July edition of the Prime Life Times publication. You can find a location near you by stopping by primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, and sort by state, because we have locations in Indiana and a bunch of locations in Illinois. In fact, when we were assembling the newsletter last Friday at the WLUJ studios, Rob, you'll like this, a guy came in and heard the announcement about volunteering, but he said, X, I just came to pick up the Prime Life Times. So we have him at the studio location.
Yeah.
He picked up last month's and this month's, and he said, oh, yeah, I hand them out and take them around.
Isn't that something,
lots of locations. It's a great God-honoring publication. And we hope you'll read it and share it. And maybe you're a business and you want to advertise in it. We'd love to talk more about that. Just give the station a call, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, to learn more about the Prime Life Times. Or if you want to receive the mailing that I talked about earlier in the program, we'd love to send it to you. If you're not on our mailing list, just give us a call and we'll make sure you're informed about the ways you can impact this radio ministry with your time, talent, and treasures. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.